I honestly can't remember if I introduced myself earlier. My name is Rob. I'm a pastor here. It is good to see you this morning. As Laura read for us, you see, there's a lot of Proverbs that speak to how we use our words. Got to say, that's also the first time I've ever heard any laughter during scripture reading. So we'll get to that. Well, what are we to make of this fact that as much, maybe almost more than any other topic, Proverbs speaks to how we use our words? And that was some 2,000 years ago when words were almost really entirely used speaking in the physical presence of someone else. And now in 2022, not only do we talk to each other in our physical presence, but we text each other, we send emails, we make phone calls, we post things online. So how much more do we need to think about how it is that we use words? Because it's clear from Proverbs, living wisely, living with the grain of life, a well-lived life involves using our words well. So let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. Mighty and merciful Father, we ask, would you speak to us this morning as we consider how you would have us use our words? Father, help us to see Jesus, the Word made flesh. Help us to see all that we have in him and how that changes the way we do everything, including use our words. It's in his name we pray. Amen. This might be a predictable place to start, but I'm going to do it anyway with words. Kids, there was a saying when I was growing up, I don't know if it's still around, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. All right, I don't know if that's still making the rounds. I like to imagine that whoever created that saying and those that kept using it, like, really meant well. But can we honestly say that it is complete and total nonsense? Right, like, it is utterly false. I've been alive 44 years. 44 years. You want to know how many bones I've had broken by sticks or stones? Zero, all right? In fact, I don't know anyone in my, like, immediate circles that have ever had a bone broken by a stick or a stone. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not sure they pose a credible threat, all right? But here's what I am sure of. Words. Words have kept me awake at night. They have caused me to lose sleep. Words have caused me to be anxious and to be afraid. Words have made me doubt who I am and who God is. And I would imagine I'm not alone. And it's not all bad. Words others have spoken and written to me, they have given me great hope and life, right? They've moved me forward when I thought I couldn't go any farther. They've given me comfort when all hell was breaking loose around me. Words have come in and given me great comfort. When it comes to Proverbs, it speaks about the power of words in the strongest possible of terms. We see it in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I imagine for each one of you, if I ask you to kind of draw up some of those core memories, those things that hurt you the most or helped you the most, words would be involved, the words that someone spoke, the words that someone said. The power of words. Why are there so many proverbs about words? Because words shape who we are, and they say something about who we are. They shape who we are, and they say something about who we are. Centuries later, after Proverbs, Jesus comes along, says something in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, if I want to know something about what shaped your heart, what shaped who you are, then I need to know something about the words that you've taken in. And if I want to know something about the state of your heart, like currently how it's going, then I just need to listen something to the words that are coming out. So we're going to go through these proverbs. We're going to look at how they would guide us to use our words wisely. We're going to do it with three questions and a statement. Three questions and a statement as we go through these proverbs. Question number one. And as we go through these questions, I want them to serve as a filter, kind of questions we ask ourselves before we're about to speak, before we're about to post, before we're about to send that email. These are three questions that we can ask ourselves. Question number one, is it necessary? Do I need to say this? Because Proverbs makes it abundantly clear when it comes to the use of our words, Sometimes the answer is don't, right? Like don't say that. Shut your mouth, keep your fingers still, don't speak, and don't post. We saw some of the verses up on the screen read earlier. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And then there's 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Some of you know kind of a more modern version of that, right? Better to keep your mouth closed and appear a fool than to open it and remove all doubt, right? The Proverbs recommends restraint and silence at time. It says to us, just because you have something to say doesn't mean you need to express it. Now, some of us are in here this morning and we're like, that does not compute, right? Like, what do you mean? Proverbs says, yes, you may have the answer. Yes, the person might be wrong. Yes, the person might have accused you. Yes, all of your friends might be posting something about it online. Yes, yes, and yes. And still, the right thing to do, the wise thing to do, might be to say nothing at all, post nothing at all. There's wisdom in that. It actually gives us a case study as well. You see it in chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. I wonder how those verses struck you when you read it. It says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Friends, this is quintessential Proverbs right here, right? Like, what in the world is going on? Feels like we're getting two contradictory pieces of advice here. How are we to handle this? Remember, we said Proverbs, it's the hard candy of the Bible. You need to let it sit. You need to let it settle. You need to think about it for a while. We said Proverbs, they're not universally true laws, but they are circumstantially relevant principles. All right, so what's going on right here is the author is saying, listen, there are some times when you're going to be in the presence of a fool, and it is abundantly clear that speaking to them is not going to do any good whatsoever. It's not going to make a difference. Probably this person isn't interested in a sincere conversation. They just like drama. They just like debate. And so they're just engaging in it for the fun of it. So Proverbs would say, don't engage. Don't answer. Don't go there. That's what wisdom is being able to tell the difference between that situation and a situation where actually this person may be a fool, but they could benefit from hearing this truth. Or maybe they're not going to benefit from hearing this truth, but there's others around who will benefit from hearing this truth. We need wisdom to know when to be quiet and when to say something. And there's times for both. That's what Proverbs says. Question one, is it necessary? Do I even need to say anything at all? Question number two, is it true? All right, is what I'm about to say, is it true? And I love, again, Proverbs, poetry, the pictures that it gives us. Proverbs doesn't just say, telling the truth is right and it is good and saying lies are bad. All right, that's all well and true, but it helps us to feel that. It helps us to see those realities fleshed out a little bit. And we read some of the verses. We said, truthful lips endure forever, but lying is but for a moment. You do realize that, right? Every time you and I choose to lie, it's there in the moment, and the pleasure or satisfaction we get from it, that's momentarily as well, right? Lying is never about reality or what really went down then or now. Lying is about what's going on in this moment. What am I trying to avoid or receive by avoiding the truth? It's always about that moment. And honestly, the satisfaction we receive for it or the pleasure, it's momentary as well. Right? Yes. You're in a circumstance, a situation, an encounter, you know, through written word or spoken word. You tell a lie and you're like, huh, I escaped. But right from that very moment, you're actually trapped. From that very moment, you're worried about, well, when is the truth going to come to light? How am I going to get caught? What are my counter stories like when it comes to light? that I'm going to have to tell? Like, what are the more lies now that I'm going to have to tell if it comes to light? Like, that's how we think and how we operate. Or what are people going to think about me when the truth comes to light? That's why this language of being enslaved, we see it there in another proverb, 12:13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escape from trouble. So is what I'm about to say true? Is it true about the circumstances that are going on around me? Is it true about the other people around me? Proverbs 10:18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Friends, let's be cognizant of this fact. We live in a town. We live in a political environment where like, slander is second nature. Talking disparagingly about people, in some ways, it's the law of the land. Doing it online happens all the time. As much as it pains us, we have to admit that even in the church, people will slander people, speak falsely and disparagingly about them. Why in the world do we do that? Here's a few reasons. Remember when we were talking about pride last week? I said that we do all that we can to try to deny and defy the fact that we are limited creatures. We just don't like that. So what do? We talk about others in such a way as to make us feel better about ourselves and say, look, I'm not like them. Look at them. I'm not as limited as they are. I'm not as broken or messy or sinful as they are. Look at that. That's why we slander people, right? Or why do we gossip? Because we like to say, we revel in that because we say, look what I know. My knowledge isn't as limited as your knowledge because I know this about these other people. Or I want to give the appearance of knowledge even if what I'm saying is not true. That's why we gossip and slander and talk about other people. It's our brokenness. Proverbs says, when you do this, you are a fool. And you are bringing destruction and death to those around you and to yourself. All right, so is it necessary? Is it true? Third question, final question, is it timely? All right, beautiful picture from Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I don't really know what that would look like. I've never seen it on Antique Roadshow. It sounds pretty awesome, right? Like, it sounds both beautiful and valuable, apples of gold in a setting of silver. Proverbs says, when you speak the words at the right time, that's what that's like. It also says the opposite is true, right? This is the verse that got a little chuckle during scripture reading. Presbyterians laughing, watch out. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. I'm sure glances were like shooting across the room at some, hey, that needs to be your scripture memory verse, all right? Like, you got to be quiet. You're too loud in the morning. Proverbs is just making it clear. There is a way to say the right thing at the right time. And there is a case where you can say something that is 100% true at the wrong time, and it's completely foolish and destructive. All right, if someone you know says, hey, how do I look in this outfit, right? And you say, you know what? There's a lot of benefits to working out regularly and, you know, a good exercise routine, right? As true as that may be, that's not the time to say that. In the midst of tragedy, when someone you love is struggling with a bout of depression or anxiety, in the aftermath of a miscarriage, when a loved one is... in the depths of battling addiction. All right, that's probably not the time to quote James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. As true as that might be, in that immediate moment, that might not be the wise thing to say. Maybe what you need to do in that moment is not say anything at all, but sit in silence and weep. Or just be honest and say, I don't know what to say. But I love you, right? That's not a failure of wisdom in that point. That's probably the fruit of wisdom. We have to ask ourselves, is it necessary? One more verse on, is it timely? One more verse on the timing of words, 12:18. There is one who uses rash words, and it's like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Again, the pictures of Proverbs, right? Words can wound like swords. Can I chat a little bit with my students here? Elementary school, middle school students, let's start with you, all right? Let's just be real. Elementary school students and middle school students, you know, they can say some of like the meanest things ever, all right? I'm sure none of you do, but you know some kids at school that do. Listen, I've coached elementary and middle school hoops for like a decade, all right? So I've been around them a lot. It hurts, right? How many of you students have been in class or been on the playground and a kid has said something mean to you and it hurts? They've said something about the way you look or how you're terrible at sports or at school. It's made you feel lonely. Proverbs just says that's the case. Those kinds of mean words, they're like a sword thrust. When you get to high school, it just kind of moves online, right? Like it just moves to the text thread where you're talking and being mean about people, or it moves to posting on social media. Proverbs says when you use your words that way, you are doing real harm. And when you speak words of kindness in life, you are doing real good. All right, this blade language, right? Scalpel, or you know, it says sword. You can think of kind words as a scalpel that brings healing and help. How we use our words matter. Before we move on to the statement, we've had our three questions: necessary, true, and the right time. Let's pause for a moment, all right? We are in a school auditorium. I'm going to ask you to take an exam, all right? It's my prerogative. We get to do that. I want you to think about the words you have used, all right? And I'll give you a small sample size. Just this last week. Let's think about the words just this last week that we've used. Online, at work, to our brother or sister, all the words we have used. Let's take an exam and think about these three things. Were they always necessary? Give yourself a grade for that. Were they always true? Give yourself a grade for that. Were they always said at the right time in the right tone? Or were they rash? Give yourself a grade for that. All right? Has anybody got straight A's? Right? I can assure you I don't. I have failed multiple times this past week in multiple of those areas. So we should probably look at this one statement. One of Jesus' followers named John, he writes an account of his life, and at the end of it, chapter 19, he records the final words that Jesus uses on the cross. We get one final statement for Jesus as he's being crucified. And this statement changes everything about the way we live our life and the way we use our words. Just before his side is pierced there on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." And he breathes his last and he gives up his spirit. Why does he say it is finished? What in the world is going on there? What Jesus is saying is, I've done what I came to do. I've accomplished what my purpose was. And that was to live the life we should have lived. To say all the words in all the ways we should have said them. And then to take the punishment for all the ways that we've failed to do that. That's what Jesus is saying when he's saying, it is finished. I've done that. We need to be clear that Jesus, in his 33 years upon this earth, spoke every word correctly. Every word Jesus spoke was necessary. And we need to know there was times that he was silent and he chose not to speak. When he's being accused, he remained silent. When Pilate's questioning him, he remained silent. Everything he said is true. He said, actually, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He speaks with moral courage. He speaks to people that religious leaders would never dare to speak to. He says all things that are necessary and true and at the right time. He's done that for us. And so we can trust when he speaks of forgiveness When he promises to forgive us for every careless and cruel word that we've spoken, we can trust that. He paid for our foolish words on the cross. Here's my prayer. Capital Prez Fairfax family. My prayer is as a community, we would be those who have our tongues touched by Jesus. So that when we speak to each other, we speak words of hope and life. All right, like in our community groups, around our lunch tables, in our families, with our roommates and friends, that we use our words to remind each other of who Jesus is and what he's done. And that we would also use our words out there when we go out those doors, when we go to the Pentagon, when we're at summer camp next week and there's this kid acting like a punk, when we're online. My prayer is that in those places we would use our words in such a way that people would say, there's something different about that person. And that we would have the opportunity to point them to our Jesus. That's my prayer for the kind of community that we would become, using our words that way to bring life and hope and healing and grace. Proverbs helps us do that. It says, hey, use words that are necessary and true and use them at the right time. Jesus helps us do that. He gives us his example. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a helper to do that. He says, hey, I'm going to make you like me. And he gives us grace, right? Because as hard as you try this week, guess what? You're going to mess up, all right? And there's grace there, and there's forgiveness. And he allows us to give grace to others when they speak to us and say something cruel or hurtful. He gives us the capacity to show grace and forgiveness to them. We're thankful for Proverbs. We're thankful even more for Jesus. Let's be thoughtful about how we use our words. Let's follow our Savior's example and ask him to speak through us. Pray with me. Father, we confess, I have foolishly used words this week. I need your grace and we need your grace. We thank you that you don't leave us alone and to ourselves to try to figure out how to speak, but you give us Proverbs, you give us your word, you give us our Savior. And so we pray, make us into this kind of community, that we would speak life to each other. That we would point each other to the grace found in Jesus. And when we go into the world out there, we would be those who speak words that are necessary and true and at the right time so that others would come to know of your goodness and your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.